privilege and pleasure to be able to ask Marenu Rabbeinu Rabban Lichtenstein to deliver a shiur right now. Torah and Chesed, choosing rabbinic priorities.
Question in relation to Torah and Chesed, and the need to define the respective priorities, confronts a lot at four different levels. If time permits, I'll deal with all four. If not, I will content myself with reading the first three and borrow for myself the deed of Shashubis there, I presume, and refer the last point to tomorrow's presentation tomorrow morning, which I had understood is to be a straight shiur, but the title has been given to us and other people have said differently, so I'll have to maneuver a little bit over there too. So said, I think the four contexts, four different levels. At one plane, how relates to this issue, purely personal terms, is what any Jew or Jewess, or for that matter, any person, in one facet of the attempt to strike a balance between vita activa and the vita contemplativa, through the active and the contemplative. The Smith of Ishin in Pei at the very beginning, Eilu Dvarim She'elim Shiur, Apeya, Vabikulim, Rayon, Yud Chassadim, Tabu Torah, posits inter alia two quote-unquote greedy mitzvahs, each of which is without bounds, not only in the sense relevant to the other three that are listed, Peyer, Bikurim, and Mitzvah Riyah, that they are inherently narrow mitzvahs, whose technical fulfillment knows no particular technical parameters, but also with regard to Mitzvah Chassadim, in the sense that here we have two mitzvahs, two values that are comprehensive and consuming, the normative and axiological thrust capable of encompassing vast tracts of our personal existence. However, the Mishnah does not, virtue by definition, ought not or could not designate or even suggest an optimal balance between these two, leaving each of us to grapple personally with the issue with respect to his or her situation, and to a very great extent as guided by one's own lights. Nevertheless, although at this plane the problem is indeed imminent and general, it probably strikes the Rav great force that hits all of us. But the Rav, on the one hand, is presumably more attached to Talmud Torah, emotionally, intellectually, than the ordinary layperson, so that its curtailment in the interest of serving others, what Munus Chassidim is all about, would entail a greater sacrifice. And on the other hand, if compared not with the Balabas, but with his peer, who may be a Magishir, does indeed find himself constrained to limit his learning quantitatively and perhaps qualitatively as well, in order to engage with Gilus Chassadim. His, the Rav's particularly, is therefore a dilemma tinged with poignancy, not for fraught with pain. I want to take two examples divided chronologically by large tract. One, a medrash, which refers in one sense to Moshe Rabbeinu, another to Shlomo Levi, and the second with a very contemporary ring. The medrash, the beginning of Vayera, but the Shabbat, דבר אותי ממשה, ודאו דכתיב, כי עושק יעולל חכם, ויאבד את לב מתנה. כשחכם מתעסק בדברים הרבה, מעבבין אותו מן החוכמה, ויאבד את לב מתנה, מן התורה שניתנה מתנה בליבו של אדם. This reference, somewhat daring of course, to Moshe Rabbeinu, that somehow his involvement, so Chesibu, confused him somewhat regarding the response that he makes to Moshe at the end of Parsha Shmais. Davar acher, in a similar vein, but in the same general direction, Kyoshi Yoled Chacham, המתעסק בצרכי ציבור, לשכך תלמודו. אמר בישועה ולוי, 60 הלכות למדני רבי בבדיה בחרישת הקבר, וכולם השתקחו ממני בשביל שהייתי עושה בצרכי ציבור. Letter describes this forgetfulness to Moshe Rabbeinu. It was the personal testimony of Ode Amiroim that he had been afflicted with Shikha because of this Mitzvachet Tzibur. And obviously, Shua ben Levi, involvement, the engagement in depth and scope with Talmud Torah is crucial and central, and yet whole tracts have somehow been forgotten by him. There is, of course, some consolation that being Oisik Mitzvachet Tzibur is a value in its own right, and beyond that, a value which is equated in the Yerushalmi, interpreted different ways of the Mishenim, with Talmud Torah. May Halacha Psuka, so you give an angel speaks of the place a person should learn, should begin davening Arva Halacha Psuka. Rabbi Yehuda Yomar, as Rabbi Yehuda interprets an example of Halacha Psuka, Osek Mitzvachei Tzibur Ke Osek B'Divrei Torah. Of course, the question of what that comparative kafa dimyon means, whether in some way it's the equivalent but as an alternative, or whether in some way it's a realization of the value of Talmud Torah. So there's constellation, you've got the 60 halachos of Tchirish Zakever, but it's keosik, it's rachet zibur. But of course, the one who's passionately in love with Torah, the Torah's totality, the Torah, every jot and tittle, every detail, consolation is small. Something of this appears in a letter which Yeshiva quoted on several occasions and which always struck me as being really very poignant and very touching. A letter written by an Adam Gadol who was a forced to Nifta at a very young age in his 30s, not before he left a significant imprint upon part of the Torah community in Lithuania. Of the early part of the 20th century. About Rabbi Kaplan, writing in Tofer Shpe, 1920, from Kovne, sent a letter to his wife describing some of the work that he's done in what is chesed of sorts, although why does the word at Talmud Torah, the establishment, administration of an incipient teacher's college, which of course is an example of chesed. Teres Chesed, Teres Amenas Lamdas, and more Sukkot Teres Chesed. So he describes all the work that's done, and of course the vast majority as we know. Then he writes there after this description, Ulam mitoch kol ribuy ha'avodah hazeh, Yishma nafshi kol medaber. Ha'Torah matay alem. Torah zo shamalte ala kol imen urecha, שבזבזת לה את כל הגיגך ושנסתה לך למכור חיים ועונק, האם תעזבנה אתה ונפשתה? זו תורה וזו שכרה. That's what the inner voice asks him. And then comes the most somewhat more detached and yet very sad response. אמנם אמת, נכון הדבר, גם העבודה הזו שבקורס היא תחילתה סוף תורה וסופה תורה. תחילתה מתן תורה לצעירים עובדים מבצע בית החיים, וסופה מתן תורה לילדים שילדו מפיהם בימים יבואו. סוף סוף אין כאן מקום לכל אותו המקצוע הרחב הנאור הכביר והנשגב שנקרא לו לונדס. אותו הטיול הנהדר בסירת מחשבתי על גלי ים התרבות ומפרשיו, that it includes and place positive the question so touchingly. אכן צריך אדם שיהיה צדיק גמור וחסיד גדול בכדי שיוכל להקריב על מזבח התורה את התורה עצמה, לפרוש מן התורה בכדי לעבוד בעד התורה. Hey, of course, conclusion is that the sacrifice in Tehillim, one says the Tehillim, another says. But to the practical terms, you're sacrificing this, as it were, the selfish, the egocentric Tehillim, that which is, to, with respect to which you won't grow to the development of the Lamed Pabin Chochem, is crucial to sacrifice to that on the altar of Teres Chesed, the Tehillim that you teach the future teachers, and the relatively the Tehillim which is to be taught to their students, and for which in some way you ought to be credited. But obviously, the person in love, Pablo Taylor, its sharpest and most sweeping sense, the pain is great, so that confrontation, yet imminent, in committing oneself to the contemplative, to the intellectual, Pablo Taylor, studied by Hashem, as opposed to lending a hand to others, extending oneself, trying one way to be sacred not just oneself, but be sacred in the world, that confrontation could exist for the ordinary balabas, but presumably for a rov, more deeply mired, more involved, and therefore sensing sacrifice more sharply, is much more problematic. This essay is the first plane, in regard to which essentially we are dealing with a dilemma which could confront any balabas, but is perhaps heightened and sharpened in reference to the experience of the heart. In the second plane, however, the issue confronts the Rav professionally, with respect to the conception and execution of his role as a Mor Das. How he might ask himself, should that role be perceived and how implemented? Adam's thought, energy, and of course, great tracts of time should be devoted to the pastoral aspect. And how much? To little bit of the Lamed. How much solitude, so essential an ingredient, one's growth, once he's out of the world on his own, intellectually, should he allow himself? And to what extent should he constantly be interactive, involved, engaged with others, at unquestionably some cost intellectually? Here perhaps two competing models present themselves, and these are familiar. One in Aaron HaKoyen, circulating amongst the populace, deeply mired in Gedulas Chesed, Rav Shalom, Rav Shalom, actively and continually engaged in interactive involvement with people and their problems, and therefore earning their affection. On his death, as Chazal died in the Pasuk, the whole of the community of Israel mourns. Because he's earned their appreciation, their admiration, and has forged powerful ties with them, his community and congregation, so to speak. Or is the model rather to be that of Moshe Rabbeinu, relatively speaking, more sincerely involved in the often solitary quest for perceiving and integrating Baruch Hashem? Or for that matter, not necessarily Adam as opposed to Moshe, but if you will, two models. Moshe Rabbeinu himself, Moshe Rabbeinu of Yisrael, with the open door, He asks him, what is it people said from morning to night? And he explains, of course, what can he do? Kirvara Amid Osha Lakim, Yelev Davar Bailav, Shafati Venishme Reyu, Vodatiat Kukir Kim the Torotar, to the extent that it's Teres, Teras Chesed, forming the Chesed of serving, as the Rabban explained, as some kind of a funnel, give them some more direct access to the Ben Shloila. The chesed of submitting myself, be available whenever they need to have it in Torah. That's the Reish Rabbeinu of Yisrael. On the other hand, after Maaseh Egel, Moshe yikach et ha'ohel v'natal lo mechutz l'machaneh, v'kira lo ohel moed, והיה כל מבקש השם צא אל אוהל מועד אשר חוץ למחנה. אמרו את הפעם מי שרבי לא לוטפים נת איזה אופס חוץ למחנה לסם מסתן עזרה שינים חזל indicates it's a reflection of peak of disappointment it's after the Maaseh Egel but in a different sense, is also a redefinition of the relation and of the role. A man's sharp eye, of course, noted in that Pasuk, in Yisrael, three different aspects of the Rabbinic role, as it were, and he then sees these encapsulated in Moshe Rabbeinu's plaint. Dvarim, Echa Eser Vito, Chachem, Umasachem, Velibchem, and Rabban explained these very respectively to dealing with their quarrels, to teaching them, and to help them to engage in Tfilah. And that seems to be for the Ramban paradigmatic for spiritual leaders of Davis. So there are different elements. Perhaps some balance between them, between Torah and Chesed, and perhaps the whole triad, as opposed to the personal learning. Again, of course, neither the Pesukim nor the Ramban is in any slightest hint, but optimal proportions. Here, the third plane, beyond personal and professional self-definition, the Rav is confronted with the question of Torah and Chesed with respect to the public arena per se. The Rav, in some sense, strives, ought to strive, to mold the community. Part of his role, over and above the responsibility which each of us has in the Sakin Olam, the Rav has that all the more. In part, the Rav explains in Shabbos, because he has authority and he has the capacity to do more, in part because that is part of his role. But what does that tikkun entail? Now, of course, we could easily state it's a quest for molding the ideal polity, the ideal commonwealth, the ideal community. And as such, of course, an other principles committed and totally committed inculcating and implementing a Torah in its totality. And ideally, he certainly ought to dress himself in the entire range of the full panoply. But, not necessarily dress himself in cool. And as we all are very much aware, at times painfully, no one trying to be chanuch, whether at home, whether in the classroom, whether in the kilit, can avoid the need for the assignment of priority. The question that arises, what ought a rov to be pursuing and promoting vigorously? How, for instance, does he weigh the quest for social justice against Shemitah Shabbat? Not that conceptually or theoretically there's any clash between them, but practically, about what you talk, what
time.
It's a series of shulim that you arrange with regard to what you found on the table, with regard to what you speak more separately. These issues, of course, are imminent and inherent, and they have to do not necessarily with how one perceives his role, but what kind of messages he thinks need to be emitted, and with what vigor and with what emphasis. And of course, there are issues beyond this with regard to formulating the public agenda, with regard to each of these components per se. How does one conceive of Talmud Torah? Which direction does one push? Or for that matter, how does one conceive educationally and pragmatically of the nature and scope of Chesed? Do we push within the community primarily a greater provenance, interpersonal empathy and activity, Wordsworth called the little nameless unremembered acts of kindness and of love, that which has entered the Ramah by Daud Chasevil, the Choy, the Chasodim, the Yisamez, the Samei Chasod HaKalo, etc., etc. Or does one envision quest for Chesed across a broad social panorama, which brings one perhaps from the personal to the political, and puts one in a position where you might say, well, from a purely moral standpoint, in terms of trying to inculcate ethical sensitivity and sensibility in the mind and heart of a balabas, the minutiae of Midas Chasodim is outlined in the Rambam are critical. But from a certain point of view, of course, if we are more result-oriented, read Midas Chasodim in terms of getting some kind of benefit on a major scale, we perhaps need to look elsewhere. Might help at first a little bit, give some tzedakah, give him a meal, and come visit him when he's sick. If after that, compare to what you might do if a person is unemployed and you're active in establishing some kind of new enterprise in the community. How do we posit the concern again for tzedakah on a minor scale, but pushing, moving actively and interactively, a greater degree of equality, more egalitarian sense, in a broad social scene. Step two, central part of the Rav's experience. Or is that the kind of thing which we say, well, Rabbanim don't do that, at least authorized Rabbanim don't do that. That's the kind of thing which is done, maybe reform rabbis, or maybe some liberation priests in South America, but we have other concerns. So, we have, as I've indicated here before, I leave the fourth in a moment, different kinds of confrontations, relations, the question of the balance of Torah and Chesed. How do we relate to this personally, professionally, communally? Professor Sperber said before, yes, questions, he doesn't present answers. I would have to do the same thing. I only do that partially. I think we ought not expect, and in actual fact, we're not going to get a monolithic answer. It's going to prescribe proportions of this kind and another kind being optimal across the board. We can get clear statements that personally and collectively, there is the need, an unquestionable need, for engaging in both the areas. And that with rare exceptions, if one engages solely Talmud Torah and ignores the area of Chesed, he's very wide of the mark. Mar Yevamis, speak not necessarily just of Chesed, but certainly relates to Chesed as well. Kol Omer Ein Lo Ela Torah, Kuftes, Ein Lo Ela Torah. Mar says that's self-evident, almost tautological, or not mishita. Elo the Gemara says, point is, that Filu Torah Ein Lo. Not that he imagines that he's Pogon Chesed, but he's supportive of Torah. Even his Torah is not credible. My time it. Amra Pop Omakra Ulamatem Vasitem. Kosh Yeshno Vasya Yeshno Bilmida. If you have implementation, you have realization, then the learning is a significance. Kosh Yeshno Vasya. And surely part of the Asiya, and not insignificant part of the Asiya, is the world of Chesed. In a much sharper vein, of course, we have Gemaras elsewhere. One relatively mild compared to that which will follow. Gemara of Shana Shitches, one says that Rabbah v'Abaye v'Debeit Ilikat, they're both descendants of Eli and of course, the early sons, not quite what he would have liked, we would have liked. Therefore, there's a curse imposed upon them. But the Gemara says that there's a way to surmount that. The Torah is Chasodi. The Gemara says both Rabbi and Abaye were descendants of Eli. Rabbi, the Asak B'Torah, committed himself solely to Torah, Chayar Ba'ishni, lived 40 years. Abaye the Asak B'Torah B'Yud Chasadim Chaya Shitin Shni. He lived for 6 months. And the value judgment was implicit. But when the Gemara here is implicit, the Gemara of the Zohar is very explicit. Tanu Rabbanan, Kishim Yitfesu, they were caught, Rabbi Elazar ben Pardo, Rabbi Chanina ben Tradye. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Pardo, Rabbi Chanina ben Tradye. אשריך שנתפסת על דבר אחד ואוי לי שנתפסתי על חמישה דברים. You are fortunate. You were caught by the Romans and you're not to be punished. But the stammer in Hashemayim, the Ashgacha will be kind to you because you've only been caught presumably because you've done one thing that's wrong. I go 5 things that are wrong. אמר רב חנינה, quite the contrary. אשריך שנתפסת על חמישה דברים ואתה ניצור. Only if you need fast till the very hard, they need it so. I'm not destined to be saved. Why? Shata sakta be Torah ubi gmilut chasadim. You engage them both. Vani lo sakta be gmilut chasadim bilvad. Vechid rabune. This judgment, of Tanoim of course, is in line, the Gemara says, with what was said subsequently by Rabune, and much later by Moira, about person who engages in Torah and ignores totally Gemilus Chasodim. Amar Rabune, Kol Osek B'Torah Bilvad, Domeh K'Mishein Lo Eloka, as if he has no deity. Sheneimah Apostle Vayomim, Yomim Rabim Yisrael Lo Elokei Emet, long period of time in which Israel did not have a true God, which apparently Elokim they had, not the Elokei Emet. Moi asks, why the Lord Elokei Emet? She called all the sick with Torah Bilvad, the Omek and Mishael Eloka. Then Gemara asks, but the Ruth Chassadim lo asa? I mean, the Ophir and Chai didn't engage with his Chassadim at all. And the Gemara goes on to quote a Maimel, which it's clear that he did with Gavit Snokir. And he responses mea bedova. Of course, engage with his chasod to someone, but he the boy little on as much as he wants. That he did. Now this came out, of course, a very sharp statement. First, of how one is to view a person who is totally and exclusively committed to Torah and is oblivious to Gemilas Chasadim. And secondly, that a minor modicum of Gemilas Chasadim does not suffice. It needs to be more sweet, a greater balance. So the emphasis on the need for both is, of course, clear. But what of the balance? And here, presumably, you find a variety of responses. Take one example. Moshe says in several places that Shem and Levi would go for Nichum Avelim, but only to someone who died childless. That you've got as being a great treasure. First, you left children. He wouldn't go, and Rashi explains, because of the middle tale. Is that standard practice? Obviously not. If it had been, would that have been singled out as needed? Where Rabbi Shmuel Levi conducted himself. It is something which is held up as a model. Presumably again, since Rabbi Shmuel Levi forms an exception, also not. But, apparently Rabbi Shmuel Levi, some of the others were Basmin no less than he. He understood, at least with regard to himself, that that was the proper way, that was the proper balance, with Yudas Chasodim occupying a very minor role. But let us take elsewhere, I guess what you have in the Gemara quote again, very curious, but they got a different kind of question of priority. The issue of priority comes up in three different contexts. One, we're going to be doing two things, but which is to come first, an indication of the value of the importance attached to it. Second, in a very narrow context, on a particular day, you can do A or do B. To which you assign priority, you interrupt A in order to do B. But secondly, or third, I should say, with regard to planning one's life in its entirety, setting forth a program, whether for oneself or one's community, what kind of balance do we take? The questions I raised before, of course, have to do with the broader, or the last one. What's the program, what's the agenda? On the Gemara we find in Machlekes, respect the second, this more specifically focused kind of confrontation. Person in the middle of the shiur sees a mess passing by, sees a color passing by, does he, if he's a maggid shiur, interrupt? If he's a talmid, does he pick himself up and walk out? Or does he figure the shiur, not going to change? And when I got to this, the Machlekes of Yude and the Chachomim, the Sugging Subis. And furthermore, Machlekes amongst the Shemim is to how to understand that Machlekes. Is it a question of what you may do, you may leave, or what you must do? So we have in one position, you must interrupt the learning, and we'll discuss it. A second, that you may, and a third, that you may not. All presumably reflective at some level, although perhaps one cannot readily extrapolate the broader issues, total agenda, reflective at least at some level, the respective weight which is assigned to Torah on the one hand, and Yudas Chasadim on the other. This connection, mentioned before that I think we ought to think in terms of some monolithic response, and that we ought to assume, I would assume this is a priori for reasons I'll set forth. We can expect different points of view, different ashkafas. As we have a question we have today, if we take a poll of the Torah, presumably Chazal stands similarly. The interesting comment, which I think is of significance in other respects as well, regard to Yerushalmi. Rabban and Teres Adam, of course Yerushalmi, the end of Kilayim, Tani Eimet Akdekim Bemet, Velo Bekilayim Bebet HaMidrash. You don't, not too careful, too precise, not too dogmatic. With regard to Mes, with regard to Kilayim. Yerushalmi continues, Rav Yosa, Havi Yotid Matni, Rabbi Tamon Mita, saying Yeshir is the master. Man did not declare, whoever left, Ram Aleklu, did not remonstrate, and he thought it was alright. Man did not declare, whoever remained in the Shir, also Ram Aleklu. Two options, for each of them, he thought were fine. It's not clear, Rabban has two views with regard to this, as to what is the issue in the Yerushalmi. Well, the problem was the Kehanim, the question look as to the mess of Kehanim, which has nothing to do then with our topic, or whether the problem was that which I mentioned before, the Chachomim, but interrupting the Shia. Assuming it is the latter, Rabban goes back and forth with regard to this. We have a clear statement that indeed we don't need to assume that with regard to the question of the balance, there's only a single balance which needs to be maintained, and that there are perhaps a variety of options. Now that variety, what are the factors that possibly enter into determining? I think one can distinguish two kinds of factors, which from my point of view are both legitimate, although I can certainly recognize the distinction between them in terms of the kind of way they ought to be given. Within certain parameters, I don't think we ought to rule out the possibility that there's genuine legitimacy for subjective choice, personal predilection. The world, such, the Ben Shleila, he needs soldiers, the army of Torah, the army of Chesed, and while a total division is, from a certain point of view, surely problematic. But to assume that there's only one kind of balance which is optimal for all, if all were in similar circumstances, I think that's being very rigid, and I think we ought to recognize the general legitimacy, a more pluralistic approach with regard to this issue, and the possibility that there are different tracks in accordance with one's own inclination, with one's own hashkofer, and we ought not try to impose in a kind of totalitarian way a single model upon all. And I take it that this is the thrust of the Yerushalmi that I mentioned before. Some walked out, some stayed. And I've used the thought that all of them were fine, no need to remonstrate with anyone. But of course, we need to consider not only subjective connection, but the critical variables in many respects are objective. These relate to the two areas. One, to what needs to be done. The other, to what can be done. Needs of different communities, of course, vary. And one needs to ask oneself, what in terms of pressures of a given point in time and space, what are the critical points? I'm very fond, let's say, F.H. Bradley's Ethical Studies, fond of the title, fond of the substance of the theme. Bradley's a chapter entitled My Stationary Studies. And the point of the essay, self-evident in certain respects, but at times seemingly by those who have a much more rigid approach, not self-evident at all, is that the responsibility which a person has, and surely the priorities which a person should perhaps ought to establish, depend upon where you find yourself. Where and when. And surely, we are interested, as I said before, in developing the totality of the world of Torah values. We're interested in Shabbos, we're interested in social justice, and we would not, we ought not, we dare not, all the tea in China, abandon any of that. But obviously, the situation may vary, and you cannot compare one community within which Shemitah Shabbos is reasonably secure at a high level, as chassadim is beneath criticism. Another community, which is very keyed, very much attuned to social justice, but very, very indifferent to Shemitah Shabbos. Certainly, we need to ask ourselves, after all, what is Minas Chassodim? Chassodim is ministry to needs. What are the needs? In one sense, the material needs. In another sense, the spiritual needs. This is one question. Another question, obviously, is not only what needs to be done, but what can be done. My bracha says, near the end, Shabbat, Tani, let us again omer, Yishata machnisin pazeh, people not ready to learn what, Yishata machnisin kanes, Yureita do, Shatoracha vivalav, see generation which is anxious to learn, Pazer, scatter your tail. Shema Yesh Pazer Vino Safo. In wait the door, Shahina Taracha Vivala. You see, you're just beating your head against a stone wall. Kanex, Shema Eid Lasut Hashem, Yefevu Torah. Obviously, from a certain point of view, one might have enjoyed the argument. The average generation, whom Torah is a lot of meaning, then you've got to hammer home, Torah. The average generation, which is highly appreciative of Torah, then you can relax in the world that front and address yourself to other concerns. But that brings us back to the first variable. What needs to be done? What can be done? That is a question that needs to be considered. And the can relates in part to what is the Kegelah ready? Relates in part to what are the skills, what are the abilities of the Rav himself. So we have a number of variables which need to be considered, and these from an objective standpoint. In addition, as I indicated, I think that certainly the personal plane, in terms of how building his own spiritual world, his room for predilection. One of the issues which needs to be considered, obviously, is what might happen if the objective and the subjective variables clash. What the community needs is one thing, what the dog likes to do is something else. I say not what he can do, but he likes to do something else. And yet, of course, part of the balance between one's concern for oneself, what's the responsibility of the community, is so critical to so many other areas of Rabbanus, comes up as well. are certain points we should emphasize, though, over and above the need for sensibility and sensitivity to the issue, and the need to address itself, to address ourselves to it seriously and conscientiously. We need to be certain that the concern with chesed is not perceived, not by the community, and not by ourselves, as being quote unquote less religious, less of a Hashem than conservative. We need to be aware of a kind of bifurcation which presents Torah, davening, etc. in one context, and moves chasodim interpersonally or communally in another context. And it's critical that educationally, not only the message of chesed be communicated, but that it be communicated as being part of the world of Avodas Hashem, part of that to which we are committed, not only because we are sensitive human beings, but the joy of Hashem, and this part to Avodas Hashem. The complementary way, we need to recognize the Apostle Torah, in Lamed, as opposed to learning, is itself an act of supreme chesed. That's the teres chesed which the Imam in Sukkah speaks. That's simply That's a word also about something which, fortunately, I find that the issues of this kind are raised, dragged into the discussion, although I think it oughtn't. And this is within the modern Orthodox community, the TOB community, very often this issue is raised. The question comes up, well, where do we stand and where do the Haredim stand? I suppose if we were to survey this particular issue, certainly we haven't seen it in Israel, less so we haven't seen in America, the answer would be that with regard to the purely interpersonal plane, they are more organized, more involved, more active, the far more Bachim and Bnei Bach than they are in Tel Aviv. In part, of course, because their community is more destitute, but in part also because they are involved, they integrate perhaps more fully the Rambam, back to Dalai Chassan. On the other hand, in terms of helping to build the infrastructure, which then serves not only an occasional interpersonal act, but to build a community and a society within which genuine needs are served and within which destitution does not arise. There, of course, we like to think that this is our bailiwick. We have the doctors, we have the social workers, we have the industrialists, etc., etc., which in that world is less of a commitment and less of a realization. I suppose that's the way we view things. It may be right, it may be wrong, but I think it's important that we stop thinking in these categories. What is done here, what is not there, done there, and comparisons of this kind, and I read about this every so often, do not serve any purpose. Not the purpose of this chassodim, not the purpose of Talmud Torah, and surely not the purpose of communal harmony between ourselves and other segments of the Torah world, which should be for us a value and an interest. We need to address ourselves to the issue of Torah and Chesed in terms of its own merits and its own significance, out of a commitment to the Chol Masechim Lashem Shomayim, and these are things which need to be done, because they need to be done. This is the Vatzal Benish Shoelam, this serves his agenda, Kaviyachol, and serves that which is to be our origin. Where we stand vis-a-vis other parts of the community, we are better, we are worse, the question is not comparative. The question is, where do we stand on something of absolute scale in terms of our responsibility to Torah and our commitment to Gvuras Chasson? And here, we certainly need to recognize and to realize that there's much which needs to be done. Perhaps it needs to be done for ourselves, the personal plane, certainly much needs to be done in a communal plane. Understand the gravity of the issue, let's look for a moment at another medrash. Mishpatim, the pasuk Melech b'Mishpat Yamid Eretz Ish Trumot Yasena. There are various interpretations, but one of them is Ish Trumot Yasena. Ze Chacham Shu Yodea Halachol Mikrashot Vagadot. Yatom Balmana Uchin Etzlo She Yasadim Beinehem. They turn to him to adjudicate. Who are Melech? Asukah ibn Ishnati, I'm busy learning, and Yipanu. Melo Elokim, Ma'ale Ani Alecha, Yiyu Echerafte Te'ola. Chach Ne'ema Vish Tumo, this is Rabbi Chocha, Muzmole Begodush, Yar Sena. He's destroying the very short story. I'm fully sensitive to this. On the other hand, is the collective level Baruch Rabbanim, Zagdat Talmud Torah, suffused with a kind of intensity, scope, and commitment, which ideally we ought to strive to attain, and we should ought to learn to expect. There is, of course, I've spoken of some kind of competition, as it were, between Talmud and Maaseh, in one respect, and Torah and Chesed. But from another point of view, Torah and Chesed both compete with all kinds of other concerns, with all kinds of genuinely secular concerns, with all kinds of egocentric concerns, which are neither spiritual nor altruistic, but simply part of what, within our own competitive world, we get swept up by. And here, the question of the extent to which we fulfill and respond to the challenge is indeed critical, is indeed crucial. We live in a world, of course, within which so much is needed, and the pressures of Chesed are great. Mentioned before, you have to consider variables, what's out there, what is needed, what can be done, what should be done. Of course, in doing that, you need to learn to differentiate between different levels of different kinds of need. Not everything that a person wants, he or she needs. And surely we need to acknowledge the distinction in G.E. Moore's terms, the desired and the desirable. But there's a great deal which is desirable from an objective standpoint, and which still for many is lacking. And we need therefore to engage in this in part as with regard to the enterprise of building ourselves. The Torah personality, which is insensitive to Chesed, is, as we saw before, deficient. And in part, because we have Tikkun Olam, the Tikkun Ki'atzmoka, is make yourself an Isha Chesed. And the Tikkun Olam is part of what's out there. The Rambam of 300 Malachim speaks of a period in which the antinomy, again, not conceptual but practical, the Torah and Chesed will disappear. V'oto zman atzman lo yeshem ra'av messianic period. V'oto zman lo yeshem ra'av lo mitchama lo kina v'tacharut sh'atovat hi mushpat harbei v'chol ha'ma'adanim mitzuyim ki alfar lo nye eise kol ha'olam. The whole world will be engaged solely not in Chesed, because there won't be any need. The value will remain, but the opportunity for supplementation will disappear. And then, lo yeise kol olam el odat et Hashem bilvad, ulefikach, yu Yisrael chachamim gedolim, yadim dvarim astumim, yasigu dat boram, kefi koach haadam, sheneema ki balaz leyat Hashem, kamayim layam hachasim. That is a dream. A vision. But one cannot, of course, extrapolate from the messianic eschatological vision to a world within which Madanim are far from Tzimim Kafal, in which Kina and Tachutim Lechama are far from disappearing. And therefore, we need to recognize that the world, the real world within which we live, is one which so much needs to be done with regard to Torah and with regard to Chesed. Obviously, and here I come back to the personal point, there can be exceptions. Exceptions which are meaningful not only with regard to Torah, but with regard to Chesed as well. Quoted the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, very sharp. Unless you think that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah is one which is self inside, the Baral in Tivot Torah and Tivot Chassadim quotes it and gives it prominence. But I guess I would have to ask myself, should the Vilna Goyim have struck a different balance between his learning and his Gvilas Chassadim? I think the answer clearly is no. But no, not only from the vantage point of Talmud Torah. No, from the vantage point of Chesed. In terms of contribution to the public welfare. And the public welfare is again partly spiritual. Teras Chesed. Teras Nostalanda. In terms of contribution to developing and molding the world of Torah, surely whatever the Goyim could have done, the more Mikulei Chayrim, going to more Chastas and more Levayas, being a more pastoral Rav, as it were, in Vilna, all of that pales in insignificance of the monumental achievement and the imprint of the tradition which derives from it. So there are such individuals. But, again, first, something which ought to be done when it is done, not because one has embraced Torah and has eschewed Chesed, but because one's Torah itself is with an eye to Chesed. And secondly, these are obviously rare exceptions. But it's fair that in any event, surely with regard to our situation, is that such exceptions ought not to be Rabbanim communities. The Vilna Goyim were alive today, would anyone appoint him as the Rav of Wichita, Kansas, or Denver, Colorado? Of course not. But this brings us, in a sense, to the first point. The person entering Rabbanis needs to know, and if he doesn't know, he ought not be entering Rabbanis. Needs to know that indeed there is an element of chesed built in professionally into the rabbanus. That is part of one's responsibility. The Rav was fond of quoting on various occasions, he was not suspect of being insensitive to Talmud Torah and its value. And the Rav Soloveitchik, Chaim's eldest son, assumed his first rabbanus. Chaim called him in and asked him to define what a Rav should be doing. And the Moshe, this is the early part of the 19th and the 20th century, gave what the answer is that you and I would give. Yes, the Mavitz Taylor, and yes, the Supervisor Kashmir, and yes, the Charles of Mikroyas, and etc., etc., etc. And the Chaim's pithy answer was no. A Rav daf Ton Chesed. And again, Ton Chesed can be conceived in an interpersonal and pastoral sense. It can be conceived in a common or public policy sense. But that this is an essential part of building a Torah community, of building a Torah polity, that goes without saying. Now I can understand that some people don't want any part of it. Yad al-Alev, I can't say with certainty that I want. But surely, if we ask ourselves what the role of the Rav is, what a Rav's aspiration should be, unquestionably, a balanced view with regard to Torah and Chesed, in terms of his own personal life, in terms of his performance as a Rav, in terms of what kind of community he wants to build, what kind of value he wants to inculcate, certainly the range needs to be there. And again, because otherwise the Torah itself is faulty, and the Chesed is faulty. Integration in this respect is critical and is essential. And that, of course, means, I come back to the Rebbe Kaplan, he's a person to the Rabbanus pays a price. I thought Talmidim, those who are looking at them, the Rabbanus of Chinuch, I encourage them to do so. As medicines I would like, but I encourage them. I don't promise anybody a rose garden. And by that, I don't mean that there'll be problems with regard to salary or problems with Balabatim. Maybe there will be, maybe there won't be. Rabbanu Sechinuch and not rose gardens in the sense that they indeed demand a sacrifice of a person. And in many respects, a spiritual sacrifice as well, in terms of what he needs to do. And of course, if he compares himself with a chavah who went into computers, so he's learning a good deal. So he's not sacrificed time. But if he compares himself with a chavah who was not as involved in saying shir, he has sacrificed. I suppose that here and there, if you love as a legal being, maybe to go back to the rabbonus of the European shtetl. Love, sat and learned twice a year to look at the drasha. The shadow came up, he related to it, but he did not take the initiative, did not extend himself to others. He waited. The Meshul and Polsky see, so you want me? Why go back to Shashem? Go to Chutzlamach and find me, I'll respond. Let us suppose. Moments of tension, and hours of labor and diversion of spiritual energy, part of leaning to. But that cannot be what Rabbonis, surely in our age, is all about. In Eretz Yisrael, there are still some lingering, somewhat ossified, in certain respects fossilized remnants. Of the Rabbanus of the Shtetl. That is changing. It ought to change. That doesn't mean Chas V'Sholem that Rabbanus should turn to social work. Social work is important. Rabbanus is different, right? And the need for maintaining intensely one's involvement and commitment to Talmud Torah is critical. But, as I said, with a balance between that Agnus Chasodim, both personally and commonly. Rabbonim have a dual challenge, a third challenge to integrate between the first two. I mentioned that there's a fourth aspect with which I wanted to deal, but I presume that time is up. So I will defer that till tomorrow. I will only mention at this point, if anyone wants to think about it, it has to do with the interaction of Torah and Chesed in the area of Hervor, the area of Psak. I'll try to deal with that tomorrow. But, so, it's up to you. Conclusion, there's a fourth area which I'd not got to discuss. Namely, the interaction of Teva and Chesed within Yevi of Hawaii. Yevi of Sak. And it is, I think, a very vital issue, and one which comes up particularly with regard to taking this as an example, slightly later on, of coping with two toward conflicting. Dealing with Psak, we're dealing, of course, with Bar Hashem. We have an enormous burden, enormous responsibility to see to it that Bar Hashem is properly understood, properly implemented, not only because of the result. Finally, if we don't pass it incorrectly, something will go wrong. Because that's a result which might be for Mekel. We have responsibility also for Machmir. We dare not, we cannot violate Bar Hashem. And the Shem in many contexts say, as it's also to be Machmir accessible, to make ourselves also be Machmir accessible. Because we have responsibility to the integrity, the veracity of Bar Hashem. And that is the third element in Psak, and it is, of course, cardinal and fundamental. But at the same time, there is a component of chesed in Psak as well. The need not only to address and analyze sources, but to assess the human situation, the needs of the shoyel, and where there is room for flexibility. And it cannot be emphasized too strongly, contrary to what some people would have us believe, that flexibility has its clear limits. But where there is room for flexibility, take those needs into account. I do what I mentioned yesterday. The term needs in this context needs to be properly understood. And again, I refer to Moore's distinction of desire, the desirable. And there are needs just simply in the nature of Yitzhakim and Taibis, and maybe at times frivolous or flippant kind of ambitions. And there are genuine human needs, which we recognize not only as human beings, but as Eved Hashem, as B'nai Torah. The preservation of a marriage, or the ability of a woman who is caught in the binds of Igun to restore some degree of normalcy to her life. That is a genuine human value, which, in terms of our perspective, we certainly want to recognize. So, we certainly need to bear in mind what kind of needs are we talking about. But the principle as such, I think, is certainly valid. I know there are some people who reject this. One's the opposite pole from the assumption that somehow there's an equivalent, the easy route to rabbinic will to halachic way. Those are the opposite pole who, on the one hand, deny the interaction of Torah and Chesed and Pesach as a fact, and on the other hand, reject it as a desideratum. I think we ought to recognize, A, that it needs to be affirmed as a fact. Paskim, and the greater the Paskim, the greater the readiness to deal with it in this matter. And certainly to present it to those who are Bnei Hochi. Needs to be done responsibly and carefully, but to present to them as the direction. If there be any question, time permitted, I will read to you a whole series of quotations which I prepared, some of which I had come across on my own, and some of which I called from a little sefer, a very interesting Bible sefer, one of these was Eif Kahana, Tafshin Zayin, and entitled Takanata Gunot. There's a whole slew of quotations, which I'll just mention two or three, concerning attitudes to Pesach. There were some, of course, who recognized the difficulties dealing with Agunas and avoided. Chavis Yoyev, and he was a great, great nation in all respects, said they never passed through without Agunas. But alongside that, let me place for a moment the question, the citation from the Masses Binyon. Be'emet shirachti yotem yidai binyan zeh v'okom shiyan v'katzer. Yitni shiyodati derech tzad chachmei dorenu, derech ishkon o, v'istalek mikol safek shiva olam, v'akol shem shumayim ki nira tora'a, im shelo yale b'yadam alakha p'suka ugura, עד שלא ייפול בו שום דבר מחלקים הסותר ודרכם דרך טובה וישרה בכל שאר הוראות. אמנם בניגון לביצה לא הולכי אנוכי נמדים, רק אנוכי הולך בקווי הצון הרואים הקדמונים והאחרונים שביקשו צדדים, צידי צדדים בכל מאמצי כוחם להכיר בניגון לביצה כמו שראיתי דבריהם למעלה. Let me take another citation. These are just a couple called from the many. Baal Chut HaMshul HaShmineh HaRuba Hazo and Pani Meiras הישק שהתרוח אומרת נפש נקשר לפנינו בכל נאי יגון והנחה המשבר את גופו של אדם וכפי הפרוסות השמיים שופך לב כמיים ויגונה זרמים שנתיים וילדה ורקה וענוגה עדיין הוא הגיע ל-20 שנה ובעלה היה לא דן עימה כי חדשים שניים. היא סופקת כפיים באומרה, למה היה חרותיה והביס בצהריים? דופקת על פתחי בתי דיני ישראל ומשכנות הרועים רועי ישראל, להזדקק לדבריה, ואולי ימצא לה יותר על פי עדים. הנה מתחילה אמרתי, מה לי להכניס ראשים? מהם שאין להם סוב? השכנו חזל ואמרו, מהם שעשו אשתו אסורה? מי יוכל להרחל אחר חוקה וגזירה שגזרו בתי מצהר? מי יוכל לאטום אסנו לשמוע לכל ברוכים? ואמרתי, נלך לקרות ראשונים, שרה בדעתם מרקל מים שאין להם סוף. This of course matters had to in the direction which Rabbanim particularly in the field confront. Chaim Lozhner is an interesting tshuva in Chuta B'Shurash, also with regard to Koshim and Agunim. And he writes to him, some of them criticized him, he thought that the psak was incorrect. And Reb Chaim, and his rigor was well known, and his commitment to the veracity of halacha is beyond question. He writes to him, Kvot Torato, to his respondent, Noter Lachumre, Machmat She'en Adavar Mutaro. He's sitting in the Svedish, he's writing Mishnigotel. Va'afani Kamo, Lo Paniti El Tzadeh, Telim Olim Mitoch Eyun, when I was writing Mishnigotel, I also didn't. Was not being made. Terem hu ala alai ol hora ve'in ata shebavonatenu rabim misivotenu yityatem ador b'chachamim mechachamim ve'alu al tzavri ol hora mikol ha'sviva she'ena matirim b'shum ofim bilti eskamat dati al kala. Now that I bear responsibility what goes on in the whole area, v'chashavti koni ve'iti chova la'atzmi l'itchazek b'chol kochi. This is meant, of course, Rabbanim to deal with the issue that a special responsibility for the chesed aspect. I emphasize chesed and not just rachmanis. What is needed, where the chesed component comes into play, is not simply pity. What is needed is empathy. Not just some kind of pity and concern which emanates from on high, but a genuine sense of feeling a human tragedy, to try to cope with it as if it were my own. As if it were my daughter or my son, how would relate to it then? Now, of course, chas v'cholila, that one should be make a reish b'yisurin or with levity, be it even out of genuine empathetic concern, try somewhat to wipe the slate clean and irresponsibly be matir asur. And by the time, interestingly, concludes the tshuva where he has a certain kura of emin and yil yomim, says, Valdoa, he concludes, Valdoa no samich, yuchala machmir eno elo chotei, ein kach shash isu, velo mishmi gunde perashtike, el vipnei shiya mitashu Torah. I just decided that I want to be back to the Aguna, so I'm going to fish around for the cooler. Amita Shuta. And of course, certainly Paskin Shilos is serious to Aguna, but the Paskin in general. We need to be tinged by Chesed, to be concerned for human suffering, to try to alleviate pain, to try to overcome tragedy. That needs to be done equally, the sense of responsibility, the truth of Torah, the integrity of the system, and to our responsibility, our duty to issue the proper psak. What I've said is, and I don't have time to go into the philosophical basis of this, but it's based on the sense of Eidim, that we need to be sensitive to the human aspect. And the more that we're dealing with a genuine human need, the greater our sensitivity to that, and to be sensitive to our responsibility as custodians of Torah. We receive Torah for a few generations, we have to hand it to the next generation, and we need to know to cope with the problem that poses, with the balance that we need to attain. I don't think that one can set down in a particular case sole definitive optimum balance. And I come back in, well, that's yesterday, there certainly can be a variety of responses, and I don't think that Rabbanim are machmir in a particular case are less humanly sensitive those who are maker. Maybe that their reading of the parameters of flexibility is different. And certainly we don't want to make value judgments, as some people sometimes do. Oh, this person is sensitive, he's a maker, he's a father, he's a machmer. Chas v'cholil, to judge clearly so in that term. But, in terms of trying to understand the process, and in cases in which those of us who are in a position to do so need to engage in the process, then surely we need to understand the interaction of Torah and Chesed at this plane as well. It requires a great deal of fortitude, requires a great deal of siyata dishmaya, and above all, responsibility. Responsibility first to see to it that we have the proper tools for dealing with the issues. We strive for godless and terror, we strive for lundus in order to be able to deal with the issues properly, that we know what we can handle and what we cannot handle, and not every issue can come up there before. And equally, to sensitize ourselves to the human side, to be sure that there's no deficiency there on our part as well. Where we've properly trained ourselves in both areas, we still are very much confronted with the problem, with the difficulty, and the need to attain that. But that ultimately, of course, is part of what our quest is for the Seras Chesed of Hashoina is all about.
Yeah.